From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
And welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. I am Chris Clark. I am an analyst at With Chiefs Digest. And he is Ryan Tracy.
Yeah, I do stuff. Check out RGR Football on YouTube as well as Rogue Analytics. It's almost draft guide time.
And I'm sure you're enjoying that and getting ready for it. We do have a little bit to talk about today. Not a ton of information going on with the Chiefs, but Andy Reid did talk, and there were a couple of interesting tidbits.
Really? I might have missed the whole thing. Are you sure?
Just a couple. I mean, you know, when the head coach talks, you listen. He does seem very excited about having Spagnuolo as his defensive coordinator, so that's a good sign. Said Spagnuolo brings a lot of energy. That's a good sign for what I think that the last coach lacked. Sutton didn't really seem to be the high energy type.
Mm-hmm. And you know, this is a guy that Andy knows well. So that familiarity goes a long, long way, I think, with getting him comfortable and allowing them, because Andy's always talking about guys that bring energy, right? So if your coordinator does, I think that kind of feeds into the whole staff.
Yep, I agree. And he's definitely got some good additions on the defensive side of the ball as well. We've already kind of talked on those a little bit. The big news of the day, though, it did sound like Eric Berry is not going to have surgery on his heel.
Yeah, that's what Andy Reid said. And I find that a little puzzling, maybe a lot puzzling and a little concerning about just how this communication has come across. You know, for a guy who the team felt he could play for quite a long time towards the end of the season, from about his return on, they felt like he could continue to play. He did not. And for him to go out and get a second opinion, looks like he saw Dr. Anderson, and they decided that it didn't need a correction surgically. So that just kind of leads me to feel like that's corroboration of what Rick Burkholder and the medical staff for the Chiefs was saying the whole time. So that doesn't really change the situation. It was still where Eric Berry didn't feel like he could play.
Yeah, and that's a large concern, because to me it seems like you're almost playing chicken right now. And if you're willing to go into the season and have him on the roster for what he's going to cost, that's your decision as a team. And I get it. I get not wanting to release one of your leaders in the locker room and leaders on the team. But if it's up to him to whether or not he plays, and I'm sorry, I really hate calling out players for not playing when they're hurt, because that just doesn't sit well with me, when you hear it otherwise. But in this situation, you're paying him a lot of money. And if he's sitting on the bench again this year, that's going to be a big problem for a lot of Chiefs fans and for the Chiefs in general.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, that is that chunk of salary. And even more importantly, that caliber of player not being on the field for you and not being put on IR. That changes the makeup of your squad. And
well, even if he was put on IR, I mean, that doesn't really equate anything different to me.
It's a roster spot that you could fill with someone else that's capable of playing.
No, and I agree with that. But at the same time, that one roster spot is not the bigger deal. The bigger deal is whether or not that salary is going to be getting you something in having playing time this season. I love Eric Berry as a player, and I hope he comes back and he's healthy and he can play all next year. But this is a major risk if they are going to say that he does and go with him that he doesn't need surgery and let him play out his contract as is.
Well, and here's the thing that concerns me, because generally I'm going to side with the player on these type of situations where the staff and the player don't agree, because the player knows his body. And particularly Eric, who's been through injuries, who's watched Derek Johnson blow both Achilles, who's seen this particular injury, felt it before, has had this before, knows what this pain feels like. To be in that position, I trust his instinct more so than I probably do just physical examinations. But if you're telling me from what it was, he played two games and then started to miss time again, right?
Yep.
If you're telling me you don't feel physically good enough to
not even pull games when he did play.
Right. True. But if it's your decision that you don't feel right and there's something wrong, and then we get postseason and we've been done now for what? Going on 5 weeks?
Yeah.
And so 5 weeks later, you're telling me you're all good, there's no concern. That's exactly what you told me last preseason. That's how they operated last preseason. It led to them. Of course, the day that I show up at camp was the first day that he didn't practice, but that went on for months and months and months.
So maybe don't go to practice.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll just show up and we'll have tacos or something. But yeah, that's a concern because it's basically resetting the clock by a year right now that the team feels he's ready. His second opinion, his surgeon feels like he's ready. What if he doesn't? What if that pain starts to linger? Because here's the thing. Haglund's deformity is pretty substantial. Yes, it can be played through. We talked about that during the season, but it doesn't just go away. So it's not like it's going to uncalcify in these, they call it a bone spur, but you know, it's really a bit bigger than that. It doesn't just reverse itself. So either they're talking about medicating him to the point where he doesn't feel pain, or something else miraculous has happened to make him feel better, or this is all subterfuge. He's going to get cut anyway.
And I don't know where they stand right now. Right now, cap wise, he is counting for $16.5 million against the cap, and that really hurts. And if they cut him with a June 1st post designation, then they save $9.5 million on the cap this year. And I really hate saying cut a player, but this is a huge risk for them to take. And I love it. Like I said, I love Eric Berry as a player. I really appreciate what he's done for this organization. And I get that he feels like he's earned the contract he has. And I don't necessarily disagree with him. But the problem and the reality is you cannot pay him $16.5 million, which is what he is scheduled to make this year, cap-wise. And not have him out on the field with this injury. If it's a different injury, it happens and you got to live with it.
Well, and I see where you're coming from. And here's the thing is from Andy Reid's perspective, he wants to know if the guy's healthy or not. And the guy says he's healthy and he's going to practice the whole off season. And there is plenty of time, folks. If they can still cut him post June 1st, take him through the off season. Yes, it eats cap in the off season, maybe limits what you're going to do free agency wise. So bottom line, I'm interested to see how this plays out because there's still a lot of if in this scenario. And there are plenty of activities for the currently signed players to do in this offseason, even leading up to the draft. So I think they'll get some more feedback and we may find out more down the line. So at this point, that's what we know. We'll take our first break, folks. And when we come back, we're going to start talking about what all of us should really be paying attention to this weekend. We want to say thank you for all of your support through this entire season and want to let you know we will be here all off season for you. This and every episode that we'll be bringing to you are going to be available every week, just like normal, all off season long. So thanks for taking the time. All of you new folks, thanks for leaving your iTunes reviews and everything else. We appreciate your time and keep it locked on, Chiefs. So as the festivities have already begun, in Indianapolis, interviews, medical checks. Obviously, we heard from Andy Reid from there. Takeaways, what's your first and foremost right now with this Combine weekend?
Well, I think it's always been a great experience. You know, the thing that I find fascinating about it is not necessarily even to do with this Combine this year. It's that there's questions whether or not the Combine will continue to be in Indy.
Yeah.
And I think that's a fascinating discussion that could be had.
It certainly can, because right now there are, you know, there are urban legends. There are, you know, if I want to go meet Andy Reid tonight, I know I can go to St. Elmo's. You know what I mean? So there are certain things. There's that old school aspect of it, a lot like they have the Senior Bowl in Mobile. But the NFL is looking at monetizing what this is. Just like they started moving the draft around, they could do the same thing with the Combine and try to reach more fans in more cities with more prospects.
Yeah, and I disagree with it if they do it, but.
Yeah,
I think
there's something to be said for tradition.
Yeah. I don't even think it's necessarily tradition. I just think that when you're talking about 300 players that are not related in any way, shape or form, and you're trying to get everybody in the right place at the right time, I just think that continuity is a great thing. And that's something that they're going to be giving up if they move it. But not my decision. And I fully expect it will move just because I think that they want to monetize it like they've monetized everything else.
Yeah, I mean, that's really their goal. So I won't be surprised. But as far as on field, everything kind of starts off kind of slow, especially for this team, the way that their offense is going. And you and Seth had a good conversation about corners, etc. Is the biggest group for you this weekend going to be the DBs?
Probably, because I think that's where Kansas City needs the most help right now. Obviously, you know, Seth and I went and we talked about it. I don't think, and I think he agrees with me, and I'm not sure where you stand on it, but I don't think signing a CB is going to be something that you can actually do. I just don't think that's going to be realistic. With
a free agent?
Yes.
Yeah.
With the type of type of contract that they're going to take. And I do have to throw one more thing out there just for all you Chiefs fans that, you know, missed Andy Reid's presser. He did say the quarterback was not the most important position that they're looking at this weekend. So
shocking, right?
Yeah. Just wanted to throw that out there in case you were wondering and we're worried.
But he also did hint that, hey, you know, they like to take them most years. Yeah. So don't be surprised if there's a day three guy out there that they lean on. They have 8 picks right now. Even if they do make some top end maneuvering in the first day or two, I still feel like they have a really high 7th and they have 2 6ths. So I feel like one of those could be a quarterback that they feel just, has something that they like that maybe they can mold around as, you know, the backup of the futures. Let him pit him against Litton eventually, because Chad Henne's on the roster now. I don't know that's going to be true in 2 years.
I would agree with that. Henne's only on a contract in 2019, so you know, and they signed EJ Manuel, which I don't think is a huge deal, but you know, who knows what they're going to do with that?
Yeah, and you know, you got to have a fourth arm for camp. It's better for OTAs as well, but. Yeah, at the end of the day, you're taking 3 into camp, and I think Henny's definitely one of them. So this for me is about Litton and giving them a little bit of pressure to improve.
Yep. I agree.
But that said, I think the corner group is one that we have to talk about, because especially if it looks like they're keeping Barry and assume the best, assume he's going to be able to play. So you're all pro safeties back. That takes safety off the plate for me in the first round. A lot of people have been mocking, guys like, Taylor Rapp, Jonathan Abram. I don't see that happening for me at this point. What about Adderley? Adderley's still an option. I don't think he's a first rounder, and I don't think most of the league is going to see him as a first rounder. So I think he'll be there somewhere in the middle second. I don't expect the Chiefs to stay put, so I think that's still an option. But I do like that he and Thompson are probably the top 2 free safety types. And I'm one of the few people still on my board and in all of my prep, I separate the two, because I still feel like as much as everybody wants to play interchangeable safeties, a true rangy ball hawk free safety is still something that this team needs and has to be more specific about.
Well, I will argue with you on the fact that you think safety is not something they're going to be looking at. And I will argue that because what has this team done over the past several years, and maybe not necessarily as much, although, you know, with the way Veach has done things, maybe he is drafting a year ahead. Maybe Speaks was drafted to replace Houston. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to draft a safety to possibly replace Barry in a year.
And that's fine. But in the first round, do you think? I think there's bigger fish to fry.
That's what they've been doing. I mean, you look at, you know, Patrick Mahomes a couple of years ago replacing Alex Smith. You can even go on past that, you know, go further back looking at the Chiefs draft history in the recent past. And that's been something that they've done. So,
yeah, I agree with you. That's a general practice, but this year's, you can't do it. You don't have the corners right now. You don't have the guys under contract. You have got to go after.
But are you going to reach for somebody that may not be there?
I think they're probably going to trade up is what I'm thinking. But overall, my point is, let's talk about the corners, because there's a number of them that are first round capable. There's a number of them that are second round capable, in my opinion. And I know you've been doing a lot of work, experimentation with our friend John Ledyard's and the rest of the Draft Network's new tool for mock drafting. I find it interesting. I've gone through it a few times. I don't think it's necessarily realistic as far as, especially after the first 2 rounds. But from what you've seen, there's a couple of guys, right? So I don't think Greedy Williams is going to be at 29, but he's the guy that I think the Chiefs, if they're going to trade up for a corner, he's the guy they have to go after in terms the length that they like. He's got decent speed. We'll see what comes out of this preseason run-up when we get actual numbers on him. But the length to play man, I think he's better in man, to tell you the truth, although I have seen somebody say that they like him in zone. Do you have a different opinion, or is he a guy that you like or don't?
You know, honestly, I'm not exactly sure on him. I've heard differing opinions on his tackling prowess and how much he's willing to get in there and tackle. So that does give me a little bit of a pause, because I don't like corners that are going to shy away from tackling and helping in run support.
As long as he doesn't wear 22, right?
Point is that, you know, they need that guy that's going to be able to help and run support. This run defense doesn't need somebody that is not going to be doing that. So, you know, that's really where I'm coming from on that.
You're more concerned about a run support for a corner to man the outside?
No, I'm just saying that I don't want to go get a corner that is going to necessarily be a good corner, but is not going to play run defense.
So, okay, I'm with you. So you want the whole package.
Correct.
Okay.
I realize that prospects aren't perfect and you're never going to get the perfect corner, and that's fine. But like I said, my issue is more I want a well-rounded corner versus, you know, somebody that sticks out and does the pass but isn't willing to stick his head in there for the run. Because if he's not willing to stick his head in there for the run, you're going to get run over. And especially if he's going to be on the same side as D Ford, who I think is still going to have issues this year in run defense.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And so that leads me to the second guy that I personally like. Might be a bit of a flashback. He doesn't wear the same number, though. But Byron Murphy out of the University of Washington is another guy that is up there at the very top of the list. I would put it the two of them, you know, 1A, 1B. The thing is, when I watch Murphy play, I think he looks a little more comfortable. I think he's a little more productive in zone, but he's certainly more well-rounded like you're talking about. So do you see any reason that this Chiefs team would try to play more zone and they might be a little more interested in him?
I don't think they want to go zone. But then again, who knows what Spagnuolo is going to do? He does have tendencies from before, but at the same time, I'm not so sure you can really buy into those very much, because you look at, he took a year off and he started changing things in his system. And I think that really could be something where he's going to be looking at things differently, moving forward. So it's really hard to see what they're going to do.
Yeah. I think part of this draft selection is going to give us that warning about what that's going to be, because, these two guys on the outside, and I do feel like they have to fill two of them, because like you said, that the free agent class is not great. Fuller could play outside if you really wanted him to, but I don't know that that's the best use of his skills. I still feel, and you tell me if I'm wrong, I still feel like he's best inside.
I agree with that.
So that leaves you not a whole lot. I think Chavarius Ward has made a nice progression. I don't know that I'm ready to roll with him as a starting corner, though. Are you?
It's hard to say. I think he's going to be a starting corner. I just think that's the reality of it, is that, you know, he's going to be a starter this year, and they're planning on him being a starter this year unless somebody comes in and is able to beat him out of the opportunity. And I mean, that's possible, but I don't know that I see that necessarily happening for sure.
Well, I don't know how they feel about it, but I see him as a nice fallback position. I think he gives you some flexibility. If you have to start him, you do, but I think the goal's got to be to get two guys to play in front of him so that he has a chance to progress a little bit without that pressure, you know, without that aspect of Marcus Cooper playing so well early, getting some film on him, and then getting attacked. Well, I don't want to see his confidence ruined like that.
The issue you're going to run into is you just don't have enough draft capital unless you're giving up stuff from next year. If you're going to want to draft, the problem Kansas City is going to be sitting in is if they want to get one of those corners, they're probably going to have to get into the top 20. And maybe even top 15. I expect corners are going to go early, and you're going to have to give up a lot of draft capital. And if you give up draft capital to go get your guy, which is fine, good luck getting two of them.
Well, that may be true, but you can pick somebody else at the second or third round if you need to. I expect
if
them
you
to
have
to
the
use
second
one
or
their
third
twos.
Round pick. That's the problem. You will. Is I don't know how high up they're going to have to go to get the corner they want if that's in fact the direction they want to go.
Oh, if they did, I think they can get up to probably the 18 to 15 range by using one of their other second round picks. A swap first and a second and you'll get there. Somebody will take a chance. I don't know who. That's what I'm having trouble projecting. So maybe we'll take our break and we'll talk about that here in a minute, folks.
We have a powerful new feed to tell you about. Check out Locked On NFL Net on Twitter. It is all the inside information from our hosts for all the Locked On shows for all of the NFL teams in one Twitter feed. That's LockedOnNFL.net on Twitter. Check that out today.
So I think the good thing that the Chiefs have going for them is there are a lot of teams between what the Chiefs did and what the Rams did and what the Saints did. There are a lot of teams that are in a bit of a panic, I feel like, to increase their production offensively. And this tight end class, it seems to be at the top of, I don't know, maybe five, six of the classes in recent years. So I think that's a great sign. I personally wouldn't spend a top 15 pick on a tight end, but I think teams will. And I think that will allow some of the better defenders that are not really premier names to fall a little bit. And maybe the Chiefs have a chance to go up and get somebody in the late teens.
And maybe. I don't know. I kept using that simulator that we were talking about earlier, and I kept seeing Hawkinson drop to 29, and I'm just sitting there going, I don't see how he possibly lasts till 29. But the problem is if he does, all the defenders are gone, and then you're stuck and you would need to trade back if you stay right at 29.
Well, and that's a good scenario. That's a good point. So you can't get your corner. You weren't able to pull off a draft. You know, you're now it's so you 25th
don't think,
pick.
You don't think DeAndre Baker's worth a first round pick?
I think he is. And if he's there, I'd be comfortable with them taking him at 29. I don't think he's as polished as Murphy and Williams, but I do think he's the number three. And I think he is on my board right now. He is the last corner still within the first round in terms of my grades. He played at Georgia too. So I'm trying not to let that.
Well, I understand. I fully knew that he played at Georgia and that was going to be a factor for you.
So my question to you is, what have you found? Do you feel he's worth a first round pick?
You know, honestly, I keep looking and, you know, I've had this conversation with a couple people on Twitter. I look and try to go best player available, and I agree that they need a corner. But if, you know, what happens if Kansas City's sitting there at 29 and, you know, the top two corners are gone in the top 15, you're not able to go up and get them. And for some reason, somebody gets desperate for a corner and Baker's gone by 20 or 25. Are you really worth, is it really worth reaching on a guy and getting that next guy? I don't think it is.
So. No, and I agree with you. So then that takes me, man, we need two shows for this. But real quickly, that makes me shift gears very quickly to the edge rushers, because even if you keep, if somehow they're able to work out and keep Houston and Ford together, I think a speed rusher is the next thing. And we've seen a lot of power rushers go really high lately. We're going to see Nick Bosa go really high. He's another power rusher. He's not a speed guy. And I think in this day and age, after seeing what Tom Brady's been able to do in the playoffs and getting that ball out so quickly, I think the speed rushers are the name of the game. And there's a number of them that are high twos or low ones to me that I think they're going to have their pick of. Is that where you would go next?
Honestly, I just don't know. And I hate saying that as because I feel it's a cop out. But the problem that you run into is in all the simulations I did, all the offensive players were the ones that were dropping. You had Josh Jacobs still sitting there at 29. I'm not saying go draft a running back. I get that. You had Hawkinson and Fant still sitting there at 29. And if that's really the reality of it, you didn't have an edge rusher that was ranked in their top 40 either. So at that point, you're reaching for anything that you're going to take that's if you're trying to improve the defense.
I don't know. I have polite burns and sweat all in the lower 30s.
And they were all gone.
Well, in that tool, I understand. Yeah. If they're all gone, then they're all gone. But there's no way that I'm getting either a tight end or running back in the first round. I would trade out of it beforehand because you cannot spend a first round pick on a guy you know is going to be a backup. That's my feeling.
But they've done it over and over and over again.
But they can't. They can't afford to do that. They have to do everything they can to get talent on that defense this season for 2019, because after that, all the money changes with Mahomes.
I guess we'll agree to disagree. because I honestly think that you can draft whatever is sitting there and as best player available, because if there's still going to be guys that are going to help the defense at 61 and 63, then they're just going to be guys that you don't overdraft and you don't take a bad trade to get back in the early second round.
I wouldn't take a bad trade ever, but yeah, I see what you're saying. Well, folks, let us know what you think. If that's the scenario, do you take a tight end? Do you take, maybe there's a wide receiver that everybody loves. I don't know. I'm still waiting for one of them to emerge, but,
and I'm not saying they have to be tight end. I'm just saying that I don't see edge rusher or CB necessarily being there. If the simulation is close to accurate, and I'm not saying it's going to be 100% accurate or it is going to be accurate, but I do know that two of the most important positions in the NFL are CB and edge. And if you're drafting at 29, you're not going to have a good pick of them.
Right. I think a trade back is definitely plausible because there is that factor of somebody wanting that quarterback that fell or maybe that tight end that fell. And I think you can get a trade back into the mid 30s, top of the second round. I think you can get that done pretty easily because people will want to jump in front of the Patriots.
Well, and they're also going to want to get that fifth year option.
Right. Yeah, it's a big deal, especially if they are looking like, maybe I don't need a quarterback this season, but I might need him next year, and I want that fifth-year option. Maybe they're going to follow the Mahomes plan. So that may be an option, too. But, folks, hit at Locked On Chiefs on Twitter and let us know what you think. Are you just best player available as Chris Wright, or do you think they need to stay a little more focused like I'm talking about? I'd like to know what you guys have to say, and we'll continue this debate, until they start making selections. So thank you for your time today. We will be back with you tomorrow. We'll have the mailbag with Seth, and then we will start on dissecting what happened, if there's any talk or new updates from the Combine on Monday. Thank you for your time. We'll talk to you then.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.